If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. It says this: "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is in giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good." Keep in mind of, we've been thinking about being blessed and filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to continue doing that this morning. We're looking at church growth and our expectation when we think about church growth. But before we get to that point, I want to read from Matthew 16, 13. It says this: "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.'" I pray this morning that we'd actually join with Simon Peter in that comment, because it actually reflects on how we live our lives. Who do we think Jesus is? What does he mean to us? What does his teaching and everything else mean to us? We need to have that focus, I think. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Matthew 28:18. "And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" I think that's a real word for us today. Go and make disciples. We often think, well, that's Dennis's job. We're in the congregation, we don't have to do that. But I believe that word is for all of us. Go and make disciples. And the rest of that, verse 2, "I am with you always." We don't go alone. We don't go alone. Can we have the next one up, please, John?
That'd be great.
Yeah? Okay. Here I go. And I think God's saying that to all of us this morning, to go. It's quite easy, I think, in many ways, when we've come to Christ, to come to our churches and our chapels every Sunday, and to sit and to receive, and to learn something about God. But the reason for that, I believe, is only to fuel us, if you like, to go out into the world, to go and make disciples, for the mission and the growth of the church. I mean, that's the central message of Jesus: mission and growth. That's the central message of the gospel. Luke 10 says this: "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" The question for us again this morning is, how do we respond to that? Do we say, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? Would we say, no, let's leave it to Dennis and the elders. Let them do it. I believe the mission of Jesus is for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And I pray this morning that we can say, each one of us, here I am, Lord, send me. Let's face it, if a church doesn't grow, it dies. And a dead church is not why Jesus came to earth. That's not what he's looking for in you and in me as believers. He calls you and I to be his witnesses. We are called to be faithful in our walk with the Lord. I think it's so easy for us to get embroiled in church organisation and activities and this and that and all that goes on, that we can easily lose sight of the true mission of the church. The message of Jesus here on earth was a mission statement. Go. He says to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Jesus will build his church. We cannot make people Christians. We cannot tell them to be Christians. But we are called to be witnesses to them, to tell them what Jesus is like. It's Jesus who saves. It's you and I who are called to be the witnesses. Living witnesses for Jesus. I don't know how many of you were here about, I think it was about 3 weeks ago when Gabriele Ucci was here, was it 3 weeks ago? He underlined the central importance, I think, of mission. And I think he said that every first Sunday of the month was Mission Sunday in their church. I really like that thought. It really keeps us focused on why we're here. Every first Sunday, Mission Sunday, perhaps we shake that up. But as far as church growth is concerned, how do we begin? I think the answer to that's an easy one. It begins with you and with me. There's no one else who's going to do it for us. It's quite a fact, that, isn't it? It's down to you and to me. We are called to be his witnesses. You and I are the church. And the church that is not actively involved in missionary work, home and overseas, is not a church. It's something else. But Jesus has shown us the way. Jesus has told us what to do and how to do about it. We are to be involved with those who live round about us. We're told to start just where we live. We need to be talking to people about Jesus. I know over many, many, many years, it's great to tell people what goes on in the church. You know, when people pass here, they say, what actually goes on in the church? We talk to them about it. But I think it's so much better if we can talk to them about Jesus. What has he done for you in your daily life? How he set you free from sin and given you a new life? If someone hadn't told you personally, you wouldn't be here now, would you? If someone had not told you about Jesus, I don't believe you'll be here now. But it is Jesus who gives the growth. He says, I will build my church. And each one here this morning, every one of us, has a story to tell how we came to faith. Now, if I got you up here one at a time, I think I can guarantee that no two people will have the same story. So when you're speaking to people, they're not going to say, well, I've heard it all before, because it's personal to you. It's how you came to faith, how you came to find Jesus. What did Jesus do when he was here on earth? Well, he met and spoke with people. He went into places that an Orthodox Jew would think unthinkable. He sat at meals with folk who were considered outcasts. Tax collectors, beggars, prostitutes, women in the street. Something an Orthodox Jew would never dare to do. But Jesus brought deliverance and healing to those he spoke to, those he met. He was bold and preached to the so-called religious people, pointing out where they were going wrong. I think he called them a brood of vipers at one stage, didn't he? But today, you and I, we are the hands, and the feet, and the voice Jesus. I've said before, if you don't do it, no one else is going to do it for you. We can't all look to Dennis and expect him to speak to all our friends and our neighbours and our families and tell them about Jesus. It's down to you and down to me. So let's look more closely at the ministry of Jesus. He began his ministry after his baptism and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The church began its ministry, remember, on the day of Pentecost. Look at the effect that day of Pentecost had. How the church blew. So we really do need to allow the Holy Spirit to have greater freedom within the church. I think this is a very serious point. We really need to think about this. We need to give the Holy Spirit greater freedom within the church and a greater freedom in our daily lives when we're speaking to other people. Freedom to witness. We do not have to go around being ashamed to be a Christian. We do not have to go around being ashamed. And I firmly believe that you've already heard Peter say this morning that the Lord draws across our paths almost every day people to whom we have given the opportunity to witness, to share something of Jesus. Peter was mentioned back down at the home down the road here. I had the opportunity last week on holiday. It's easy to speak to people about Jesus on holiday, I find. They're much more, because they're away from home, they seem to be more eager to listen, and they don't sort of rubbish you quite so quickly as they might be on the street. But it's so interesting how many people the Lord draws across our path every day to whom we can show something of the love of Christ and the word of Jesus. And each day at your morning prayer time, do you pray that God will open a door for you? I pray that you do. Pray that you'll have a conversation with the other person that actually opens the door. I've always found we never have to break down doors to speak about Jesus. It seems to me that always it's the non-believers who open the door, give us an open door to go through and to share something of our faith. Pray that God will open that door for you. And if you're willing, I say we don't have to break down the doors. We don't have to think about what to say to us. His Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak. And those words will go forth, I believe, with power if we're in Jesus. And he puts the right words in our mouth. We don't have to be theologians or whatever. We need to be people who simply love Jesus. We simply want to be drawn and draw others to him. And I believe you'll be amazed what God will do when you're willing to witness. I'm sure I told you this a few years ago, but it's still true. When I became a Christian at work, I thought, I've got to tell someone about Jesus. What shall I do? So I prayed. I said, God, bring some people into my life who want to know about Jesus. This is the honest truth. After 2 weeks, I told them to stop. I could not cope with the number of opportunities. Seriously. I had people queuing outside my door who wanted to know about Jesus. A bit scary, really. But I'm underlining the point that God answers our prayers. If we're willing to be used, he will open doors. He will give us opportunities. He will put his words in our mouth. The growing church, I believe, needs to be focusing on discipleship and evangelism. I'm going back to what I said about the Gabalucci. I still think that idea keeps coming back to me. First Sunday of each month to be Mission Sunday. I think it keeps us focused on why we're here and what we're doing. We pray the Lord's Prayer fairly regularly, don't we? The line, there it is up in the second line, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And that's what we're about. Jesus has told us to bring, in a sense, his kingdom here on earth. So many people, when they think about the kingdom of God, think of that sort of beautiful Caribbean island out somewhere on a planet somewhere we're all going to run to. Jesus came to bring God's rule here on earth. I think sometimes we forget that. His desire is that same order of God's reign will be here as it is in heaven. That brings it back to you and me. If we want to see the church grow, it has to begin with us. We need to be growing too in our personal Christian lives. It's so easy as we go on in life to go into a rut. I think it is, well, I speak personally, it is easy to get to a rut. I think we need to shake ourselves from time to time to get out of that rut. And to think, have I grown this year in the Christian faith? Or am I further back than I was last year? Or am I going forward? I think we constantly need to be growing. We had a young child here this morning, Sasha's child. If he stays like that, he's not going anywhere. He has to grow. The same is true of us in our Christian faith. We have to grow. We do that as we feed on the Word of God, as we share our faith, as we study the Scriptures. And I think we constantly need to be doing that, growing in our faith. And in our prayers, what are we praying for? Do you pray that the men and women and young people will come to faith? Is that part of your regular prayer life? I think it's again so easy for us to focus on what we're doing, how we're feeling, where we're going. I think God's saying, come on, wake up, look out. Look outside of yourself. What are you praying for? And if you are praying that, what are your expectations? Do you expect people to come to faith through your witness? I pray that you do. I pray that you expect people to come to faith. Are we actively and prayerfully looking for new people? There's still some who stand in the church wringing their hands saying, oh, numbers are not growing, it's all doom and gloom. It's rubbish, isn't it? Absolute rubbish. And I think it's true to say too that the church does not grow in our Sunday services. Very rarely do people come in from outside without any contact here in the church, out of the car. The church grows out there, where the unbelievers are living, in our towns and villages. And that's where we're called to be witnesses. We can witness to one another here in church, that's fine. But I think God wants to go out there and witness, to take the gospel out into the world. And that's why we need, I think, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need the gifts of the Spirit in our daily lives, not just here in the building, but out there. And then people will start to see the fruit of the Spirit, of love and joy and peace and all the others. Then they're much more likely to start asking questions. So Peter was, what are you doing here? You can start to tell them. And it's the Holy Spirit who enables us to be the witnesses for Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who will put words into our mouths. I know I'm much older than a lot of you, but I remember in the 80s, I expect some of you were out there. There were experts who used to print in the Daily Paper, the Express and whatever, saying with the numbers, the Christian church are falling so fast, that by the year 2000, the church will cease to exist. That was in 1980. They looked at the graphs that people keep doing, you know, these experts on numbers and things. Wrong. I heard recently to that well-known church leader going around saying things are so bleak. I'm sick of it. Things are not bleak. Is Jesus Lord or not?
Yes.
Jesus is Lord. And has he not given us the Holy Spirit? I believe that other scripture too, that with God all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with or for God. And I think God really wants to build us up. We need to feel fresh that filling of the Holy Spirit. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, let's think about the words we're saying. Your kingdom come. Jesus kept saying in the Gospels, the kingdom is close at hand. It's here. So let's look at today. I think God needs to say, is saying to us that we need to be released from a negative bondage that the devil wants us to believe. The devil wants us to believe that it is doom and gloom. I want to reject that. Just kick it out. We need to be released by the Holy Spirit to look up and see God. God is God. Jesus is Lord. So that we can witness and minister for Jesus. I know there's still some preaching that the end is near. We're all doomed. People worrying about all sorts of things. Catastrophes in the book of Revelation and everything else. Worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Bible tells us to live one day at a time. I defy anyone here to live tomorrow today. Or yesterday today. God only gives us enough of himself to live one day at a time. And I think we're called to live one day to the full. So many people miss out today by thinking about what they're going to do there, or what they did back then. I think God says today, live today. Live today to the full. Because through faith in Jesus, whatever else happens in the world, whatever catastrophes, you and I as Christians, we are saved. Amen. Our place in the heavens is secure. Amen. We do not have to worry about the time and the place. And look what Jesus said to his disciples when they wanted to know what was going to happen. In Matthew 24, tell us, they said, when will this happen? Verse 36, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. So don't worry about today, tomorrow, the next day. But live today. Live today to the full. Don't miss out on your chance. Bible tells us not to speculate. And what we need to do, I think, as a church, is to raise our level of expectation. To really put Jesus back on the throne and say with him all things are possible. We don't need to know about the times, the place, and the dates. God is interested in you now. God is looking in your minds and seeing what you're thinking in your hearts now. Why? Because he's interested in you now. That verse from Scripture, today is the day of salvation. That is true today. Today is the day of salvation. So I pray as a church we will lift our expectations. We will release ourselves to be freer in the Holy Spirit. Take a stand against the devil. Don't just simply get lost. He has no place here. Don't give him any room. Don't listen to his lies. As a church, let's lift our level of expectation. Let's let the Holy Spirit free and released here in ourselves, in our lives, in our homes, and here in the church. Let's continue to pray that God will open doors for us so that we can share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and give him all the glory, all the praise. The world is surrounded by doom. Peter prayed about something this morning. Watch your televisions and all the killing and mayhem continues. In all of this, God wants to give you his peace. That peace that passes all understanding. Then receive his Holy Spirit and go out into the world and tell people about Jesus. And I pray that in a few months' time, we can look back and say, wow, look what God's done. Then not to applaud ourselves, give him the glory, but not to stop. Then go on, do more. Keep on witnessing. We are given faith for our lifetime, not just for today, not just for this week, but until we go up to be in the heavens with God. Let's pray as we sing. Psalm 37 says this, delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Trust in the Lord and do good. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Heavenly Father, help us to delight ourselves in the Lord. That he will give us the desires of our heart. See our families, our loved ones, our neighbours come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, increase our trust in you. Help us to be the light of Christ in one sense, reflections here of the light of Christ in our daily lives. That we can give him all the glory, all the praise, and all the worship. Lord, I pray today you're going to amaze us. Amen.